This is the RDU on Stage podcast. I'm Lauren Van Hamert, your host, and on this episode, I'm chatting with Charles Vanoff. That was an original song performed by Germana Sharp, one of the many artists in our community who has been impacted by COVID-19. While we on this podcast really zero in on the theater community, organizations like the United Arts Council are really trying to assess how this pandemic is affecting our arts community as a whole. I caught up with Charles Vanoff, the new president of the United Arts Council of Raleigh and Wake County, who tells me that we need data as well as stories to measure the short-term and long-term impact of this crisis. And that is where our conversation begins.
So I've been talking with other people who do similar things to what United Arts does. And, you know, one person I think described it really clearly. Of course, there's the impact on the individual artists, and that's not to be underestimated. You know, I think there's good news in the expansion of unemployment benefits. There's good news in the checks that it looks like everybody will be getting. And that's not to say we're out of the woods and it's still going to be painful for a lot of people, but there's some good news there. The organizations face a related but a different set of challenges. You know, one person I was talking with said it's almost like a double whammy for organizations, but I think you could even say a triple whammy, because what's going to happen for most of our nonprofit arts organizations is that they're going to lose the ticket revenue that they would have had, either because they're not going to get to do the show, or even when it comes back, I wonder how quickly it's going to come back. I have some concerns about that, and also they're going to lose the donation revenue, or it's likely that donations will go down, although I think we see some good examples of people stepping up and being philanthropic right now. And then if you want to make it a triple whammy, which unfortunately I think it is, like if it's a theater or a visual art facility or a museum that runs a summer camp, they may lose that income too. We just don't know yet, because we don't know when the world's going to go. I know a lot of people are proceeding apace with summer camps, and that's, I think, advisable until we know that you can't. But I think it's likely that that'll happen. So I have a colleague at the Smithsonian, and she was on a call with the American Alliance of Museums and heard a thing that a third of museums in the country were already kind of close to going out of business. And the conservative estimate is that we'll lose a third of those. So that seems to me to be kind of like a reasonable baseline. If we had to do the kind of grim math, is that we might lose about a tenth of our arts organizations right now, if I had to guess. And I certainly hope it's going to be better than that. You know, the last thing I'll say kind of in response to your question, Lauren, is that one thing we really are stressing right now that will be a lot of my communication to people is the importance of, if you have an arts organization, to fill out the Americans for the Arts survey about the fiscal impact of this crisis, because we need to start wrapping our arms around what the actual loss is. As of yesterday, it was only 300,000 in losses that had been reported by arts organizations in Wake County. And that seems really, really low, because, I just know like a big theater in one weekend, their gross can be a pretty significant percentage of that. But they're canceling, Playmakers has canceled their entire season. I haven't looked to see how many theaters are doing that, but I think some are. And so those numbers are really low. And it's really hard for those of us who are trying to, wear our advocacy hats to go out and advocate when we don't know. Like, we need the stories too, but we also need numbers. So, those are just a few thoughts on what you wanted to know about how we wrap our heads around this.
And then the other thing I want to ask you is, how can the community support our arts organizations? Because I don't think anybody listening to this podcast is going to want to see a tenth of our arts organizations close. So how can we support our organizations and our artists now, and then once we get to the other side of this pandemic?
Yeah, those are great questions. Well, I think it starts with just something really simple. It's like if you can afford not to ask for a refund, if you had a ticket to something and you can afford not to ask for a refund, and convert that into a donation, that is amazing. And I mean, I just got off the phone with Michelle Weathers from the Carolina Ballet, and she was like talking about how astounded she was with the generosity of some of their patrons just not asking for refunds. And I know not everybody can do that, so that's a if you can do it. I do think you can check out what organizations are doing online. United Arts has created a just for primarily focused on our grantee organizations and the individual artists we work with in the schools. We've created an online resource of just locally who's doing interesting things online. Like some people are teaching drawing lessons, some people are, have launched new online content. Raleigh Little Theater is doing a creative drama class online. I know Arts Together is doing some online dance classes for people who are enrolled in their programs. So, another thing to think about doing is how do you engage online with these organizations? A huge thing is, these calls to action, whether they're on a statewide or a national level, following those. And if people have the resources to give a donation to an organization they care about right now, they could really use that extra support right now. And, or if you're not able to do that now, think about doing that in a month or two, when you don't forget about us when things get better and the world goes back to quote unquote normal. It's going to be different, right? So, I mean, I think maybe if I had one last thing I might say is that don't be afraid to reach out to organizations and, let them know you're thinking about them or share ideas for, what you'd like to see from them. I mean, I do think these are, and hopefully all of your arts organizations that you really care about are reaching out to you as well. It's a two-way street, right? But these are really important times to stay in touch with each other and, to remember that, this is about what ties us together as human beings. That's why art matters, right? Like, how many different things do we have in society that actually tie us together? So I would say, like, don't be afraid to reach out to artists and see how they're doing, or to reach out to arts organizations and offer just some support, whether it's emotional or financial or both. I mean, all that stuff matters. I mean, we do want to hear from people, and it's also our responsibility to reach out to people who we work with, whether they're ticket buyers or donors or artists or whoever. So yeah, and we'll all get through this. I hope.
One thing that's really interesting to me is I'm an art lover year round. So, I'm not a fair weather art lover. I love it in good times and bad times. But it's very interesting to me how, in times of crisis, we lean on the arts probably more than any other time, whether it's a natural disaster, whether it's a pandemic, which is kind of unprecedented. Are you sensing that people are really leaning on the arts? And as an advocacy organization, can you use that as leverage to advocate for federal funding to support arts programs going forward?
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I think people do lean on the arts in times like this. I think it's incredibly, incredibly important. And I mean, I think the way that people are doing that is, it varies, because it in some ways I feel like this is a moment that musicians maybe have like the easiest thing they can do. I mean, you just look at all the different like live stream, like John Legend live streams a concert from his living room. Like, that's awesome. All he needs is a camera and a cell phone, and he's good to go, and that's great. And I mean, how many, I mean, goodness gracious, it must be like hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of musicians streaming stuff. I saw that there's this great story on WUNC, just about some really creative things that artists, I love this, because there, basically there's artists out there who will record a song on demand for you, as like a gift, that you can enjoy in the comfort of your own home. It's this artist named Hannah Kaminer. Music for Quarantine is a platform for sending virtual concerts to loved ones. I mean, like, how cool is that, right? Like, that's amazing. And then it gets harder for other groups. I mean, I think a lot of art museums are doing, You know, I'm involved with the Gregg Museum of Art and Design at NC State, and the Gregg is doing like some virtual tours, or was doing virtual tours. I don't think they are now that the university's closed. But you know, some of that content's available online, so you can go to museums virtually. And you know, it gets harder though for certain kinds of artists, right? I just feel like that we're on this spectrum of how easy is it for you to translate your work online. I was talking with some musicians who teach like jazz combo classes at local universities, and they're just saying like, how do you do a jazz combo online? Because, you know, there's a lag on the video, and even if everybody even had their own instruments, which you may not have a piano in your house, you know, or a drum set in your house, how do you do that? You can't necessarily always play together virtually. So some people have to radically rethink what they do. You know, there's some things where it's just like, oh, this is easy, and other things where it's like, no, we're literally reinventing the wheel in order to move our work online and figure out how to, you know, how that translates. But, you know, but I also think, I mean, I know there, you know, there's tons of content out there. You know, we're not at any kind of a lack of content. I think one of the interesting learning moments in this will be like, how much of it is about content and how much of it is about connection. You know, I think it's really interesting that Netflix launched that Chrome extension where you can now watch a show together and like have like a hangout with your friends at the same time. You know, I was looking at a local wine shop that did wine tasting on their back porch, and you could order the wine, which you might not be able to do that anymore now that we're, you know, with the change, the daily changing of what's happening. But, you know, that's a shared experience that people could do together, because I think that, you know, it's not just about, you know, this, Lauren, I think everybody who loves theater knows this, that it's not just about the work that's on stage, but it's about being in that room together and experiencing it together. And so I'm most maybe interested in how we all, you know, how do we find that? How do we find that community as a, you know, which is, you know, it's like, I think that's the two halves of the coin, is not just the content, but it's the community. And so how does that evolve, you know, in the next weeks and months?
And can we use this, and I don't want to say it's a newfound interest in the arts, but for people who maybe have not paid attention to art as much as they are now, because so many things are happening virtually and we're getting all these virtual concerts and virtual performances and programs. Can we leverage this moment somehow to advocate for more funding for the arts going forward?
Yeah, I certainly hope so. I certainly hope so. I mean, I think like anything, it, you know, it's just, it's about making your case, and it's about being able to, you know, tell the story and also, you know, talk about the impact. And I think there will be really powerful examples of both after this, about how, you know, people, you know, use the art, you know, use any kind of arts experience to get through a really difficult time. But I think we'll also have tons of data about, you know, what happened in the field, like how many people, you know, went online to stream an arts experience, or, you know, just however they, you know, chose to interact with the arts in these, there could be some really interesting takeaways coming out of this. And we don't know what those will be yet, but I agree, Lauren, I'm hopeful that this, you know, maybe sets us up on a strong direction going forward. You know, there's this quote that I like, and I've tried to figure out who said it, and it's hard to find, but Jackie Kennedy said it at the dedication of the Kennedy Center. And the quote is, all passes, art alone endures. And I just think that's, you know, that kind of speaks to like, we all come back to the arts in these kind of moments. And we, because this is how we explore our shared humanity. And so to your point, hopefully that, you know, this moments like this, if there's a silver lining besides all the terrible things that are happening, is that we are reminded of what matters to us. And hopefully that's not a thing we forget as soon as the crisis is over.
I you know, as another takeaway, I did a virtual panel with Arts Access, and I'm just hoping that all of these virtual technologies and all of these tools that we're all using right now stick around after it's over. I hope once it's over, people don't abandon all of these tools that are really making the arts accessible to people right now.
I think that's right. I agree, Lauren. And I think that, cause you know that even when, again, the world goes back to quote unquote normal, there's still people who, for whatever reason, can't leave their houses because they're, you know, they're sick, or maybe they're, you know, or maybe it's not even that, you know, maybe they're just watching after a loved one or a child, you know, whatever, somebody's sick and they're for whatever reason, they can't make it there. And I think, you know, accessibility is so key to what we do. Inclusion is so key to what we do. So yeah, there's, I think that is another silver lining in all this that I hope so too, you know, and there is, you know, digital is very democratic, you know, for better and worse. But, you know, I think in general, digital is good for art. I think if I had to say another positive in all this is how much content, and it's tricky. It's a two-sided coin, like, because artists have to make money and organizations have to make money. But there is a plus about a lot of this digital stuff. It's lower cost typically to access if it's not free, which then creates its own challenge in how you support artists and arts organizations. But, you know, it is very democratic. Like OMI talks about what's great about their work is that because it's on the side of a building, anybody can access it. You don't need a device, you know, like a lot of this augmented reality art requires you to purchase a certain device, which not everybody can do. And, you know, if you do digital projections and link it to performance, you know, you can, you know, that's not necessarily something that is exclusive. And I think similarly with a lot of, you know, a lot of this work moving online or being enhanced by online, that is very democratic, regardless of whether it costs money or it's free. It is a way that a lot of people can participate who couldn't otherwise participate, potentially at a lower fee. And that's a really, really big thing, you know, and I'm 100% with you that I hope a lot of this sticks around after the crisis is gone.
There's just a lot to unpack with this thing. It's crazy. It is crazy, but I'm grateful that you're at the helm of United Arts, because this is a moment, I think, for our arts community, and we need good leadership. So it's good you're there.
Thank you. We're doing our best, and I hope we're able to, you know, to help as much as possible.
The United Arts Council just hosted its first virtual First Friday. Of course, the longer this health crisis goes on, the more likely we are to see more and more virtual events like this one. VAE Raleigh has collaborated with the United Arts Council, along with ArtSpace, Pinecone, and Theatre Raleigh, to establish the NC Artist Relief Fund. Here at RDU on Stage, we're trying to do our part by selling merch to support the fund. Visit the merch link on the RDU on Stage website, buy a t-shirt or a mug, and all the proceeds will benefit artists around the state who are in need. Since we kicked off this campaign last week, we've raised about $50 for the NC Artist Relief Fund, and my hope is that we will raise a whole lot more. On a side note, RDU on Stage has been nominated for 3 Indie Week Best of the Triangle Awards, including Best Twitter Feed, Best Local Website, and Best Podcast. Visit the Indie Week website in the episode notes and vote for all of your favorite businesses and organizations through May 4th. If you like what you've heard today, please consider subscribing to the podcast, follow us on social media at RDU on Stage, or visit us online at www.rduonstage.com. Until next time, stay safe, stay healthy, and stay engaged.